And welcome into Living Blended. I'm Colby.
I'm Megan.
And welcome back. We had a little bit of a hiatus there.
Yeah, we had some things going on.
Yeah, life got a little busy for us and we didn't get to record or write or really do much.
Yeah, we went on on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we alluded to that last time.
Yeah, we did. I think said that where we were going, we went to Disney World and Universal Studios.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd never been. You had been once, not to Universal, but you had been to Disney.
I've been to Disney,
before.
Yeah.
And we went without the kids.
Don't judge.
Yeah, don't judge. Or judge, I don't care.
We will take them, just not at their current ages.
Yes, yeah, it was a scouting mission.
Yeah, every time we saw a toddler having a meltdown, we were like, right choice.
So absolute glad.
Right choice, yeah.
Yeah. So we had that going on. And then shortly before that, we did something.
We did something big. Well, you did something big.
Yeah, I asked and you said yes.
Yeah, we got engaged.
We got engaged. And hold for applause. Oh, I don't have an applause drop here. I'd play it.
So unprepared.
So we used that vacation to kind of celebrate that. And now we're on to wedding planning.
Wedding planning. Yeah. Super excited about it.
Yeah. We'll probably maybe touch more on that next time. Because I think we have an idea of what we want. But I'd rather tell some people in person than finding out here.
Yes.
And you this week just started a new job.
I did. I was a teacher for a really long time. I took a break from the classroom a couple of years ago.
A teacher in like what level?
Oh, I'm sorry. High school English. High school English teacher for 10 years. And then a couple of years ago, I took a step back. I was really burned out and just needed a break. And so I worked in higher ed for a couple of years and I really missed the classroom. So I took a teaching job teaching juniors and sophomores. I've never really had juniors before, but turns out that's where it's at. Really enjoying the juniors.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I know. A lot of good reports back from your school, except for that first day. You kind of just passed out when you got home?
Yes, yeah. 100%. I completely forgot how, because I mean, it was basically, it was November, but it was my first day of school, and I think any teacher knows that there's tired and then there's first day of school tired and they are completely and utterly different.
Yeah.
Like you're teaching, you have to be on all the time. It's not like a 9-to-5 desk job. Like you're pretty much on all the time. And first day of school is that, but on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't sit, you don't stop talking, you don't anything.
Yeah. Teaching while trying to learn students and behavior and
all of the
things. School and just a new job, like a new employer.
Time I was teaching, I was in a familiar environment. Like this time I walked the wrong way out of my classroom to get to the parking lot. Like I didn't even know where to go. I was like, this is student parking. Never mind. This is not where my car is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's enough about us. We're, this episode is on love languages.
Something we're both a big believer in.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I would have read that book. How old am I? 35?
35.
I'm 35 now. Yeah, I know. Hey, I got a cougar over here.
Hey, easy now.
No, I wish I would have read it when I was in high school or just a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for relationships, but like romantic relationships, but just relationships in general.
Yeah, the first time I ever read Love Languages, it was in a professional setting. I had a principal had us read it, who he used that as ways to give us kind of professional guidance and, show us, appreciation in ways that would make sense for us. So, but a lot of my, even students understand and know what love languages are now.
Yeah.
And I think it's beneficial in all kinds of relationships.
Yeah. And we'll add it's by Gary Chapman, the book. I don't think we mentioned that. Very, very popular book. And God, I've lost count of the number of, versions or iterations of it. Like, there's love languages for children, love languages in romantic relationships, for friends, there's a bunch of different ones. So I guess we'll set this stage first on the 5 love languages.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to start?
So, there are 5 distinct love languages and this is basically the way that you most receive, love. Like it's how your cup is going to be filled up. And
yeah, yeah, they refer to it as the love tank.
Correct.
They being Gary.
The authors, yeah.
And that's basically saying that each time that you speak someone's love language to them, you're slowly filling up this love tank of love. And the more full that is, the happier, mm-hmm. in essence, I think they will be.
Yeah, and that relationship will be. And, so, yeah. Yeah, so like if you are, so that, like I said, the five are words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. So that's people who respond really well and their love tank gets filled by, you know, saying nice things and yeah. sweet texts. And
you're beautiful.
Nice card. Thank you, baby. No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
that kind of thing. And, you know, the sort of sweet nothings that you tell your partner or tell your kids or whoever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. There's physical touch, which is, you know, holding hands or hugging or kissing or whatever it happens to be, any sort of positive physical touch. There's quality time where it's, you know, you're actively spending time together, not passively spending time together necessarily. And that's...
Yeah, I think it's important that it's undivided attention too.
Correct, yeah. Undivided mm-hmm. attention where you're not split in multiple ways, including with technology, which I think can be a challenge sometimes in a, you know, 21st century environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's gift giving. That's actually my best friend's love language, top love language.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hers okay. is gift giving. So, yeah, gifts, and not just like, oh, I picked this up randomly off the shelf at Target, but something that's intentional.
Yeah, I feel like that's one that I like to speak. That's not a love language I receive,
mm-hmm.
but that's one I like to, like, I like to be really intentional in my gift giving. Right. I like to put a lot of thought into it, but I don't care about it's, you know, it's weird. We'll get into that in a little yeah. bit, but.
So gift giving and what did I not touch on?
Acts of service.
Acts of service. Yes. Yeah. So like, maybe like filling up somebody's gas tank, mm-hmm. you know, if it's cold outside and they really don't want to do that kind of thing. My gas is on like 7 miles to empty, by the way, just throwing that out there.
Okay.
I'm kidding. That's yeah, not, that's
a
not
very
my love
low
language.
One for you.
Yes. That's, yeah, it's not my love language at all. I'd much rather do it myself.
Yeah. So I've been bailed.
Yeah. so those are the five love languages in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess let's just touch on ours real quick. Your top one would be words of affirmation.
It is like, it's, yeah. Yeah. Leaps and bounds words of affirmation. I am a wordy person. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I sometimes really struggle to get my thoughts out verbally, ironically, but written, I enjoy writing things to people and expressing love that way. I know that not everybody receives it that way. So I work on trying to give love in ways that they will receive it. But it's definitely how I receive it. Like I melt over a heartfelt text or letters or, you know, anything like that. I mean, like I said, I taught for 10 years and I literally every single letter that a student has ever written me, I kept.
Uh-huh, yeah. I remember yep. you going through yeah. those boxes.
Yep.
And honestly, it was one of the things that, I've told you this before, but it was one of the things that attracted me to you was like the connection that mm-hmm. you had with a lot of your students, a lot of your former students.
Yeah.
So seeing them text you even today, kids mm-hmm. that you had 5 years ago
yeah.
that are well into their adult life, I just think speaks to you. And that's me doing words of affirmation there.
Thank you.
Okay, we brought that full circle. and then your like second one?
My second is physical touch.
Yeah, that's probably my second.
Yeah, I'm very touchy-feely.
Yeah.
Like we very rarely go anywhere in the car without like either you know, if you don't reach over and grab my hand to hold my hand, then I will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even if we're sitting on the couch, like we're, and it's both of our love languages. So
yeah.
I tend to need it a little bit more, but
yeah, like, you get it. I think you get it mostly through your head, like literally through your head, through your hair.
Oh,
I think I play with your hair every night.
It helps me relax.
I probably get it with maybe with back rubs more than anything.
Yeah.
Like just like waking up and just, I don't know.
I feel like
I wake up and yeah, I almost immediately feel your hand on my back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my number one would be quality time.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's hard to separate and detach from technology sometimes, mm-hmm. but, I think we do a good job at making sure to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, the more full your love tank is, the more happy you're going to be.
Is your love tank full, babe?
My love tank is full. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Is yours?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about why they're important, about the love tank. For kids, what makes you, why is it important for kids?
Okay, I think that kids want, I mean, they want to know that they're loved, but I mean, if a kid is a words of affirmation person and what they get as far as love is a lot of hugs, well, then they're not, you're not speaking their language quite literally. Like, uh-huh. You're not giving them what they need, and they don't necessarily have the, I mean, as adults, we can have the wherewithal to understand, like, okay, gift giving isn't my love language, but I can see the thought behind it, and this person is trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas kids don't necessarily have that.
Yeah, especially young kids.
Right, yeah, they don't necessarily have that that ability to just sort of separate, that they just know that they don't feel that love, and they can't really see it coming from other angles.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to not only identify, but speak your child's love language once you learn it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll link this resource, but one that I found helpful was Bethany Cook. It's DrBethanyCook.com, doctor spelled out too. But she had like a little quiz on there that I thought was interesting, that like you can, for the book, Gary Chapman's book, you can go to his website. I don't know if it's 5lovelanguages.com or what, but in the back of the book, or you get maybe it's a companion workbook that you take the test in. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Some people might know it right off the bat.
You can take it online or you can take it in the book. Either
yeah.
way, it's
yeah.
available both.
And it'll like rank them too, because it's not there might be one that's way more than others, but they all kind of have a certain weight.
Right.
And some just have less than others. But anyway, DrBethanyCook.com has one that was specific for kids. And even in the one in the book for kids, in the 5 Love Languages book for kids, it talks about that typically this is for kids 5+. So that the love language changes a lot in the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like I can even just think back to the boys. And I don't know that Carter's changed a whole lot since he was an infant. But he's about to be 6 now. So I think his are becoming more set.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a test there if you wanted to go and look and see what, if you don't know what your kid's love language is. I think most of the time you'd be able to figure it out by literally seeing what makes them happy,
right.
Seeing what calms them down. I think the thing that stood out to me, I have a book in front of me, is maybe 4 or 5 months ago, Carter was really struggling physically. Like he was physically hitting and just outbursts, and it was just bad. And I don't think it was until the only way that I dealt with it, that we dealt with it, was by just like being there with him, mm-hmm. and hugging him and holding him and not really saying much. And that started to calm him down. And, you know, I mean, you couldn't literally see his love tank fill, but you know what I'm saying? Right. That solidified it for me, that I knew. I guess that's how I interpret how to see a kid's love language, is what makes them happy, what calms them down. I think you could probably look at just about every kid and say gifts are their love language. Because what kid, especially a young kid, what kid isn't
like,
even if it's a box. Sorry, what were you going
to say? Another way to sort of identify your child's love language, there's a book, and it's also by Gary Chapman, but it's specifically for blended families. It's called Building Love Together in a Blended Family. And there's a quiz in there that kids can actually take. There's also sort of identifying markers about how you can help identify your child's love language. And one of them is paying attention to how they give love to you, like how they are, because they're going to give it in the way that they like to receive it. Because to them, like if they feel really good about, physical touch, then they're going to give you lots of hugs.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, well, this makes me feel good. It's probably going to make somebody else feel good. And so in that particular book, it said, pay attention to the way that your child is giving love. That's probably also the way that they're going to try to receive love.
Yeah. And I think for the most part, that applies for adults too. Like,
yeah,
I'm pretty
absolutely.
Sure it referenced for adults. It definitely doesn't for me. Like,
I don't think it's not necessarily what you should do. I'm saying that that's the especially with young children, like until you sort of recognize that not everybody receives love the same way, you're just going to go with what feels good to you.
Yeah.
And because they're so young, they don't necessarily, that's kind of how I identified Caden's love language is by that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause did you want to talk about Caden's love language?
I'm 100% positive that Caden's is words of affirmation.
Yeah. Like, I'd agree there.
Yeah. He's, especially since he's, become more verbal. His vocabulary has, he's 3 and a half now. So his vocabulary has grown immensely. And seems to grow immensely all the time. There's sometimes he'll use words that I'm like, I didn't know you knew what that meant. Okay. It's sort of a constant, Daddy, you're handsome, or, Megan, you're pretty, or, so-and-so has the sweetest heart. Like he always is sort of giving compliments and wanting to make people feel good that way.
Yeah.
And he really responds well to positive affirmations as well. So, I'm 100% sure that that's his top love language.
Yeah. And I could see his changing. I don't know if it will, but like I said, the book said that typically it's useful in 5 and up.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't, honestly, just speak all 5 love languages.
Right.
Like, especially with really young kids, if you don't know what it is, or have your kids take the test and see what they are.
Yeah.
I don't know that a lot of kids are going to be super interested in reading the book. You had said you had some juniors or sophomores that
I've had some high school kids who, at my current school and my former school, who have read, or not even if they haven't read the entire book, that they've seen it through social media and started identifying their love language that way.
Yeah.
So, and they were, pretty spot on with what they thought about themselves. They were pretty self-aware and whatnot. And so, I think it's something that has value in all sorts of relationships. Not just, like I said, not just romantic, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of the things you as an adult, what your love language is if you really sit down and think about it. If you just think like what does
good.
My partner do that makes me feel good? Yeah. What kind of things do they do? Is it when they play with my hair, or they tell me I'm pretty, or they do the dishes when, maybe I was going to do the dishes, or, any of them. Bring me a gift, bring me flowers. Yeah, it's just harder with kids.
Yeah.
So we try, maybe we can talk a little bit about how we do that with kids. We speak all of the love languages with them. I think gifts, one of the main ways that you do gifts are through scavenger hunts.
Yeah, because it's time spent together. I think that's another one of, pretty close for Carter are tied with physical touch and quality time. He very much, whereas Caden, I don't think the quality time is, it's definitely not in his top 2.
No.
He's uber independent and will,
Caden might be an acts of service kid right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can see that
very much, yes. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Quality time, because there's definitely times where even just the 3 of us are hanging out. Like I was thinking we were camping like a couple weekends ago and we were all me, you, and Carter were hanging out by the fire, and Caden's just on his own in the tent. Happy as a clam.
Just doing Caden going Caden.
Caden going Caden. He does that often at home, that he'll just kind of be off on his own, like doing his own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Caden, you want to come? I'm good.
He's good. He is super independent.
Very. So,
Carter's would definitely be, I think quality.
Quality time.
I don't know, touch is up there too.
Yeah, I think both of them. Yeah. I think quality time for him for sure. So like things like scavenger hunts, they get gifts that way, but it's also, it's not you opening a gift. It's us spending time together while we're going through the house and looking for, the clues of the scavenger hunt, things like that.
Yeah, that's kind of a little hybrid one that might touch on both.
Yeah.
Because he loves them. Like he loves the scavenger hunts. Yeah. He's asked for them several times.
I like doing them too.
Okay, what about touch? What are some ways that we've done touch with them?
So this is actually interesting, and especially in this the book by Gary Chapman, like the one about building love together in a blended family, that if you are a step-parent, or even before you become a step-parent, like if you're dating somebody who has children and you're getting to, especially at the very, very beginning stages where you're getting to know them, maybe they're, if their language, especially if it's physical touch, like you don't just go bear hug kids that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start by maybe sitting, you're playing and you sit next to them and let them, if they want to scoot closer, they scoot closer, they scoot closer and things like that. And you kind of gradually build up on that. But both of the boys have, I think physical touch is really high on theirs. they're feel like they're constantly sitting on one or both of us. Like when we settle down to do like a movie night or something like that, like it's, you know, all four of us on the couch, just kind of arms and legs tangled up together and sitting like that. Or even all six of us with the, you know, eight additional legs.
Mm-hmm. That you might hear pitter pattering around here.
Yes. Their language is food, I think, actually. I think there's a sixth one for dogs.
Yeah. Carter kind of, I touches himself, but he is a family friendly podcast. Right.
Yes, it is.
He'll play with his hair.
Yeah.
He's almost six. He still puts his finger in his mouth to calm him down.
I sucked my thumb till I was 10.
Yeah.
And I still play with my own hair.
No. He does that. Yeah. I mean, he loves playing with your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's what really makes me think. And seeing him react a certain way. Like I could be really frustrated or disappointed in him. He could know that. And then hugging him just kind of settles everything.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, for my birthday, I'd got a book. What's this? Who makes this? Oh, Wonderbly.
Wonderbly is the company that makes these.
Yeah, we might have referenced one of them before. I can't remember.
I love Wonderbly.
Yeah, but this one, they like bring in characters that you want to add to it. So if you want to add your kids as characters in the book. But it's called Our Daddy, the Superhero. And you got it for me for my birthday this last year.
And, or Father's Day. I think it was Father's Day.
Or was it Father's Day?
Something like that. They're really close together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's this like dad that is a superhero that the kids are like, well, I think the kids are watching TV and the dad is out fighting this robot that's like angry destroying everything. Yeah. And he's using all his quote daddy superpowers that are like,
he's funny.
Joke telling. Yeah. And he's smart and blah, blah, blah. And none of this is like stopping the robot from destroying the city. And then it ends with the dad just like going to give the robot a hug.
Yeah.
And the robot just calms down.
And it's a child robot. It's a like a giant child robot.
Yeah, giant child robot baby.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I know it sounds crazy. It's a really good.
It's a really good book. I wish we have so many damn books, but
I know.
Maybe when we get through Bad Guys, we'll get back to this one. Okay. So back to the love languages. So we talked about gifts and kids, acts of service.
I think acts of service, it depends on the kid. And Caden right now would be cleaning up. That's definitely an act of service.
That'd probably be an act of service for every kid. I think with them, specifically that age, the act of service might just be helping them do something, not actually doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they could see love in that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else come to mind for acts of service?
No, I don't think so. Did you?
No. Okay. And then I think we touched on four of them. Words of affirmation. Talked a little bit with Caden, but how do we speak words of affirmation to the kids? I think Carter would be a great example of, he's moved on from struggling with temper tantrums in the house to adapting to kindergarten lifestyle.
Yes. It's a little bit different than daycare.
They don't
know as much handholding and, it's been a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah. And he was like this throughout daycare. He was the, for better or worse, I don't want to say the ringleader of the not the bad kids, because he's not a bad kid. The
challenging.
Yeah, maybe challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, he tends to bring that out in other kids. And so he's just struggled a little bit to kind of evolve because he's in a classroom with like, I think it's like 14 boys. And there's a lot of boys. The boy to girl ratio is really high. And I think there's like three or four of them that sometimes just march to the beat of their own drum, for better or worse. And, So we've been kind of working with him through that. And I think the words of affirmation most recently were, he would come home with they call it a citizen calendar.
And which is his daily folder.
Yeah, and it just says like each day, did you have a good day? Did you have an okay day? Or did you make mistakes? And the mistakes are usually written in there. And so at first it was you know, pushing or pinching or stuff like that. And then it changed after working with him a lot. It changed to kind of shouting out and being more disruptive during class. And I think what's slowly getting him out of that, or at least part of it, is affirming that he's making progress.
Yeah. Focused a lot on progress over perfection lately.
Yeah, it's a tattoo you have on your forearm.
That is a tattoo I have on my forearm.
Progress over perfection. I mean, yeah, progress over anything,
right.
Really. So, I mean, every day we drop him off because he would get to the point where, you know, if you think you're a bad kid, I think you had mentioned this. It was you were reading some article about things teachers learned. Like I did it mm-hmm. once, and I'm not going to do it again, or something like that. I can't remember what it was called.
It was an article. I can't remember exactly the article. I actually saw it on BuzzFeed, but it was basically things that teachers learned throughout their career and decided not to do anymore after an incident. And one was about like behavior charts in class, and a child got upset in this particular teacher's classroom, and because they had to clip down. So like if they were at a green, they had to clip down to yellow or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they weren't specific in the article about what it was, but they had to clip down, and the kid was upset and the kid cried, and another kid in his class tried to comfort him by saying, it's okay, you get used to being the bad kid. And the teacher was like, okay, no, we're doing this. We're doing this all wrong. Like, this is going to stop now. Like, we're not going to, I don't want kids to refer to themselves as the bad kid.
Mm-hmm.
So she rethought her way of classroom management and dropped the behavior chart.
Yeah, because if you think you're a bad kid, you're going to be a bad kid. So.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah. I mean, even when he was hitting, we made emphasis on, you know, that make no bones about it. He was being a bully to some of his mm-hmm. classmates. And so we talked a lot about how, it was a book we were reading. It's a Pow Pow Fish and the Bully Bully Shark. It talks about how it's not what you are, but it's what you're doing.
Right. It's not who you are.
It's what you're doing, you know? And, so after that, I think we kept talking more about, that's how we tried to affirm it to him, just I guess to try and bring that full circle, that we tried to affirm that he was getting better, that just because he was coming home and his citizen calendar had a note written on it, and this is a kindergartner, so he's most of the time he's not able to read it. He might know what it is because of the timing of when the note's written, but he kind of just saw them all as the same.
Right, that there was not levels of you know, struggles mm-hmm. of behavior.
Yeah, yeah. When in reality, he was getting better.
Right.
And so we were trying to affirm to him that, no, you don't have to be like...
Perfect.
Yeah, you don't have to come here and hang your head because you have something written on your calendar. You did better than you did the day before.
Yeah.
Or you did better than you did the week before. I mean, even driving home today... he was proud because he had a good day
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about how he was counting the number of days that he had a smiley face and the number of days he had wrote in something down is what he said. Oh. Yeah. So,
much grammar.
Yeah. So he said he had 14 wrote in down and 11 smileys. And he was getting excited because his smileys were almost more than the other ones. And I said, okay, now look at the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I think it was like 5 and 5. And a lot of the things that were bad, that were in the 5 bad category, weren't, like to me, they weren't terrible. Yeah. It was maybe a bad judgment or you made a bad decision.
It's
but it wasn't like,
somebody. Yeah.
he wasn't being physical. So,
right.
Okay, so I think we covered all 5 there.
Yeah, the one thing I did want to point out about love languages is that when they're used as... Basically, when they're used in sort of any sort of discipline, if it's your child's love language and that's how you discipline them, that's what's really going to hurt.
Yeah, way worse than anything else.
Yeah, so like if your child's love language is physical touch and they want, dog trying to get into a kennel, you know, they want the touches that they receive to be positive, you know, a hug or
right.
Sitting in a lap, something like that, and the child gets
spanked.
Spanked.
Yeah.
Then to them, that's 10 times worse than any other discipline they could potentially have, because now you've used something that is precious to them and used it against them. Same thing like with, if your love language is words of affirmation, and I always think that I'm super sensitive, but I'm like, no, I think it's just because words of affirmation is my top love language. And so if something negative is said, that's what's, it rings, you know, harsher mm-hmm. than any of the others. If they were used on the opposite spectrum.
That's a good point. I totally forgot about that in the book too. And I think that was even mentioned in, at the Bethany Cook website, Dr. Bethany Cook website. Mm-hmm. She talked about that, and it might have been specifically the touch one that she was referencing. But yeah, that would apply to just about anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we have anything else for this episode?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, it's super important. Learn your kids' love languages and
learn them,
especially if as a if you're, you know, bonus parent. Like, connecting with your kids is going to be, you know, highly important. It was a little bit different. I mean, not super different, but on some level different with the boys because they were so young when I came into their lives that, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just easier to bond with young children. But I mean, especially if your bonus kids are teenagers or even older adolescents, things like that, then I think that can be super valuable in forming those relationships because I think they tend to be a little more, not automatic, but easier when they're so young. I mean, Caden was less than two, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that becomes a little bit easier when they're that age. But I remember I had several step-parents, and as, you know, an older adolescent or a teenager, my step-parent tried to speak that love language, it would have made those relationships, you know, all the better. My stepmom now does it, and she's, you know, she does it really well.
You love her. Yeah.
I do. I absolutely adore her.
Yeah. So learn your kids' love languages. Mm-hmm. Speak your kids' love languages. Don't punish your kids.
With their love languages.
With their love languages. I mean, another mistake that I've probably made with dealing with Carter is, if quality time is his, working through, maybe not timeouts. I think there's probably a way to do that, but really just putting them in isolation mm-hmm. probably is more, does
hurtful,
more harm
than
any other kind of punishment. And that's not the point of it. So learn them, speak them.
Live them.
Live them. And don't punish them using it. Yeah. Okay, so next time we're going to talk about some big decisions.
To make those, how mm-hmm. to make those.
Yep. So, especially with us getting married. So until then, bye.
Bye.